You're about to listen to the newest family member of SeavillePodcast.com. It's Dr. Tripp Stewart from Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital here in Charlottesville. Dr. Tripp Stewart will give you tips and information you need that can help for your pet safety. Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital is open 365 days a year, including 24-hour coverage on all major holidays.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Tripp Stewart from Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital with another podcast. I hope you guys are finding these helpful. I am spending some time in the studio making them. I hope people are listening to them. I want to point out that you can go to our website, www.greenbrier-emergency.com, for more podcasts and blogs, all original. None of these are canned. You see if you learn something, if you like it. Otherwise, visit our Facebook page and make a suggestion. Like us, too. We like people that like us. This next podcast is actually from Facebook. I want to thank Angela for suggesting this question. She asked a question on Facebook. I gave her a two-line answer, but promised I'd give a podcast to give her a better answer. It's actually something that we don't deal with in the emergency room, so I was forced to go to the books a little bit to see if there's any newer information, and I learned something from this, so that was pretty cool. Today's podcast is on urinary incontinence in older female dogs. So any of you guys that have an older female dog, you know, may know about this. It's fairly common where they're asleep and you find a little wet spot after they wake up. It means an involuntary passing of urine, usually when asleep to relaxed. It's not as they're walking around. This is not to be confused with a dog that's excited or got submissive urination where they roll on their back and pee, or they wag their tail real hard and pee on the floor. That's totally different. That's normal, actually. This is a condition that sometimes veterinarians help cause by spaying these dogs. That's not to say spaying's bad, but it certainly is maybe a contributing factor. Urinary incontinence can be caused by a whole bunch of things. Urethral problems, bladder problems, hormone problems, metabolic problems, central nervous system problems if the dog doesn't have the spinal cord or nervous control of their sphincter and bladder. But the majority of these dogs actually have urethral sphincter mechanisms of incontinence that are hormonally dependent or hormonally caused. More than 20% of all large breed dogs have urinary incontinence. And that's a pretty big number. It's very common. It's getting more and more common, I think. At least it seems that way. 81% plus, 82, 85, whatever the study is, are diagnosed with urinary sphincter mechanism incontinence. And that means that there's some kind of a hormonal or mechanism problem in the sphincter that's holding the bladder in. In young dogs, they can have birth defects and other problems. This is somewhat common, but not that common in huskies, miniature poodles, labradors, things like that, corgis, some kind of terriers. That's a real situation where if you have a young dog that's just peeing without control, unaware of the urination, you need to see a vet. There are certain surgeries that you can perform, but that's not the topic of this podcast. So the topic of this podcast is urinary incontinence that is hormonally responsive. And the reason is because that's the majority of these healthy, older female dogs. I mean, we're not going to talk about spinal injury or block dogs or anything like that. It's just not worth it. So once you figure out that your dog is leaking urine, once you see that your dog's bed is wet when they wake up from sleeping, or they're laying on the rug and there's a wet spot, you have to figure, why is this being caused? What's going on? You need to really rule out the serious conditions that can cause this. Now, I said this is high numbers, 20%+ of older dogs, of older large breed dogs, 81% of all urinary incontinent dogs. I know I gave those numbers, but you really want to rule out metabolic disease, urinary tract infections, kidney diseases, spinal disease. You want to make sure your dog does not have diabetes mellitus or insipidus. You want to make sure that there's nothing else going on, and that's why you go to a vet. Make sure they rule that stuff out. That's how you almost rule in hormone responsive urinary incontinence. So you rule everything else out, and the only thing left is hormone responsive, for the most part. I'm simplifying it a little bit. I hope Angela understands. So the treatments for hormonal responsive urinary incontinence have long been really two different drugs. The first one is estrogens in female dogs, DES. And I can give you the scientific name, but it doesn't matter. It's DES. It has to be compounded by a pharmacist, and its frequency of giving is between every couple days to once a week. And it's thought that this drug, which is an estrogen analog, helps trigger estrogen receptors to send a message to the bladder and the sphincter to retain urine. I'm not exactly sure, and I don't think anyone's exactly sure why that it works so well, but it certainly does. Male dogs, oddly enough, need testosterone for the same effect, and they think that works on the prostate's version of the same thing. If you've got testosterone, the prostate may contract and hold the urine in a little bit better. It's got side effects, certainly like any hormonal therapy does, but they're minimal. They're not that long-lasting. It's a great drug if you've got this problem, but it is not the first line of attack. It's usually the second drug you go to, and you go to that one if the first one doesn't work. And the first one is an alpha adrenergic agonist, phenylpropanolamine, which is PPA. I'm sure you see in PPA they make that drug flavored because it's so commonly given that they have beef flavor and chicken flavor pills. It acts on the bladder receptors to increase the hold it in message. I know that's pretty basic, but that's essentially what it does. Hold it in. These drugs you give 2 to 3 times a day, and you can give it a little more if episodes are worse and a little less if they're not. It does tend to decrease the appetite of the dogs. It can sometimes change your mood or make them a little hyper. You guys may know PPA as Fen-Phen. It's a diet pill. It's somewhat controversial in humans. It is not as controversial in dogs. In fact, I think the only people making it now are veterinarians for this urinary incontinence. Minimal side effects, and it's the first line of action. PPA is usually what you give these dogs initially, and if and when they become resistant to that, you switch over to the estrogens, the DES. And because there's really not that much after the estrogens you can give. So you always want to give the first drug and have a second drug waiting, and that's the best way to do it. I know veterinarians sometimes switch between the two. You can go 1 year with one and 1 year with another, things like that. That's up to your veterinarian, whatever they find more helpful. There are surgeries for this. There's a colpal suspension, which is in female dogs only, and you actually tack the vagina to the bottom of the belly of the dog, and it puts pressure on the urethra and makes urinating harder. I've seen a study that 50% of these are successful. I saw another study that 75% are successful compared to other processes when paired with drugs. So you still may need your PPA or your DES after the surgery, and you may get up to 50% or 75% success. And these are things I've learned. I think I mentioned that I actually learned a lot when researching this, and I had never heard of that surgery, to be very honest, but it's taking off a little bit. There's a cystourethropexy in males or females where you actually tack down the urethral muscles, and you can tighten the urethra, and this is another surgery that will make urinating harder. So when they're relaxed or asleep, you might get a threshold where urine can't come out. And it's, again, 50 to 70% success, but I've read that this one sometimes has straining to urinate as a side effect. So both of these surgeries, they have mixed results, potential side effects. You use them if the two drugs are not working, and you've totally ruled out all their possible causes for incontinence. The newest treatment that I've seen, which is really kind of cutting edge, is collagen injections into the urethra. The same collagen that can give you a beautiful little cleft chin or raise your eyebrows or cosmetically alter your face can be injected into the urethra. And this, what essentially does is makes a bump or shortens or smalls the bore of the urethra, making it harder to urinate. They've used Teflon. I've seen surgical grade Teflon is also being used. This is pretty cutting edge, and it's not something your local vet's going to do. You might have to look for a specialist to deal with this. So which of these do I recommend? Well, I'm not sure. I think that's something you want to talk to a specialist about. One of the things that I've seen that works great is good old diapers. They make doggy diapers. They make t-shirts that you can put on the back end of a dog. They make proper diapers. They make a whole bunch of different of outfits you can put in the back, and that will stop the leaking. So if you can't afford the surgery or the drugs aren't working, and the drugs are really good options, I have to say, then diapers, not a bad option. Or wee-wee pads where the dog sleeps. You can lay those one-sided wee-wee pads, just like baby pads or puppy pads. And that way, when the dog's asleep and it's urinating, it's not really making such a big mess. Because most of these dogs, nearly all of them, do not have this problem when they're awake, conscious, alert. So I'd hate to go to a surgery right off the bat if you're finding that it's just a little dribble when the dog's asleep. I hope this was helpful. The take-home message is don't yell at the dog. It's not their fault. And drugs can often fix this. And make sure to rule out all other problems. I mean, the metabolic problems that can cause this certainly are life-threatening. And you'd hate to just jump to the conclusion that your dog is urinary incontinent when there's something else going wrong. Angela, I hope this helps. I know you have a large female lab that may be leaking. Diapers or drugs. Anyway, please visit our website, www.greenbrier emergency animal hospital.com, for other pods and blogs and interesting news. And certainly visit our Facebook page if you have any suggestions for topics. I am starting to run a little thin on topics just because it's hard for me to know what people are interested in, and I would love to hear from you. Also, if you don't like the style of my presentation, give me a heads up. Let me know if you want more, I don't know, more pizzazz, music, I don't know. Whatever we can add, we can do to help you. Go to the Facebook page, send me suggestions. Thanks.